Welcome back to the Shadowbinders podcast. This week we're going to talk about writing.
Yes.
And the writing process. I'm Tom Pratt, the artist of Shadowbinders, and with me is my lovely wife, Cambria.
Yeah, you got my name right.
Who actually does most of the writing on Shadowbinders. So stick around and our fabulous secret powers will be revealed.
So writing, we had several people ask us before about how we come up with the stories and how we write them and, you know, basically what goes on behind the scenes before you draw them.
Okay.
In our case, it even goes up to when you're drawing them.
Yeah, well, that happens a lot, actually, with even with professional comics, you know, it happens where, you know, the artist draws something and as they're drawing something, because you're thinking about it, you're spending an awful lot of time looking at that page, and sometimes, you know, you think, well, this dialogue might work
flow better a certain way.
Right, right.
Plus, when you get the visuals in place, something, you know, it just seems, you said the flow, or, you know, it flows better. So, yeah, so that's how we have two different ways we work. Because the way we work for Shadowbinders is different than what we did for Crimson Run.
Right.
So let's start with Shadowbinders. Shadowbinders, we're doing, see, with Crimson Run, it was a self-contained graphic novel. So we knew what we wanted to do from the beginning to end straight through and had to block it all out before we started. Mm. With Shadowbinders, we know the beginning, we know the end, we know a lot of the major story arcs and points, but it's just a matter of how do you get from point A to point B.
Yeah, the details. I mean, the whole basic story is laid out, but you know, a lot of it we play by ear, too. And I know that probably disappoints some of you that were hoping that we had everything figured out.
We have a lot of it figured out.
There's a lot of it figured out. I mean, we're certainly not just making stuff up on the fly, but, you know, we've deliberately, you know, at least as far as the world goes, we haven't.
We keep it loose.
We keep it pretty loose, kind of like Star Wars,
where they that's what Tom compares me to.
Yeah, they don't like they don't really get bogged down in the details of, well, this planet is close to this planet, is close to that planet.
Which
they're
is
like,
fine.
They're like, hey, we need an ice planet. Let's just make up.
Yeah, an some ice people, planet. I mean, that's okay. Some people want to write that way, but they have everything planned out. They have, you know, all these ideas and things created. And we have some, but we don't really stick to that strictly.
No,
can't speak today.
That's okay. I think I think in our case, the world is sort of like window dressing. You know,
it's more of a character-driven story, correct?
And it just happens to take place in this alternate world, and you know, some of the details are figured out, but not like Cam said, we don't have everything planned out.
Right, and a lot of times we like to take these little side jaunts, like the water creature, sea creature. That was a little side.
That was our son, actually.
Yeah, that was our son. That was a little side quest. So. For Shadowbinders, we know the main points. We know what characters we want to use. I mean, sometimes we actually, characters you start out as one way turn into something different. We were talking about that earlier today.
Mm.
Like, we started out with, actually, Mia was the main character, and Ren was supposed to be kind of, you know, a character just to motivate her, but it ended up turning it around that Ren's pretty much taken over.
Yeah, that which, you know, I mean, yeah, it does happen a lot in, I mean, you look at television shows, I mean, I think of, you know, Happy Days, where the Fonz pretty much came in and took over.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about Popeye earlier.
Popeye actually started out, the original Popeye strip focused on Olive Oil and her brother. Popeye wasn't even introduced until sometime later, and then he sort of took over the whole strip. And that's kind of what happened with Ren. You know, for better or for worse, I think. I mean, Mia's still a strong character
But here's the thing with Mia, I think. Ren's already starting out with a strong personality, and Mia's kind of like, you don't know where she's going yet. But that she was deliberately written that way, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she was deliberately written to be like that, and that doesn't mean she's always going to be like that.
No. Mia's going to undergo some changes, you know, throughout the course of the series. But yeah, as we're meeting Ren, I mean, Ren's already got his career established and all that.
Oh, Ren will tell you how great Ren is.
Yeah, Ren will tell you how great he is.
But, he has no problem doing that.
But yeah, so I mean, as far as the actual process of writing, you know, the story. How do we lay this out usually?
Okay. Well, we usually go like chapter by chapter for for Shadowbinders. This is it's a totally different process for Crimson Run. But for Shadowbinders, it's a chapter by chapter basis. I mean, we start out with like we'll do a chapter or two at a time and go from there, and we know, you know, we want, here's what we're trying to head towards. And a lot of times, like we said before, it's, well, you know, it'd be funny, or, you know, it'd be fun if, and that's kind of how we come up with what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think, and that's usually how, yeah, Kim writes out, you know, basically a rough outline of the chapter, and that could be done, like, several months in advance.
It usually is. And I think the chapter we're working on now, I wrote clear back, like, September or August last year, or something like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, when we actually get down to drawing it, a lot of times, you know, we tweak things.
Mm-hmm. Well, things get changed. Scripts don't get read correctly. or something just seems like it might work better or a different way. Or like, well, this is a page we just did, you know, with Tristan coming out originally. I had figured he was already on deck, but you didn't draw him on deck because you didn't read ahead that far. And it actually works out pretty well, though, how you add the dialogue and it brings it in. It kind of works out better that way, I think, because he kind of walks into it like, oh, what just happened?
Some of the jokes in there are actually, you know, happy accidents because, you know, it just... And
Shadowbinders, the happy accident,
Happy accident. That should have been the name of the airship. The happy accident.
That's what Ren's dad said. No.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of times what happens, too, is... You know, the page breaks. Like, you may think in your head, okay, well, all this is going to fit on one page, and it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true.
But then with Shadowbinders being the biggest difference between that and something like Crimson Ren is that Shadowbinders is episodic, and you want people to come back every couple of days for a new page. So you kind of
You're not reading it in one sitting as much.
Right. So you can't really
dawdle
too much. So we try to have something of interest or something, a joke or
something, a reveal each or chapter. Something. There's something each chapter we kind of write the rest of the chapter around. Like, we knew we wanted to do a ghost ship, so we wrote the chapter around the ghost ship. We knew we wanted, you know, you wanted to put Ren's bathroom, so we wrote the thing about Ren's bathroom.
Yeah, eventually.
Because you wanted his bathroom.
Well, I think eventually, you know, I mean, some of the early stuff especially, I think we, you know, if we ever had a chance to do it over again or something, I think we'd probably retcon a lot of that out of it, you know. You know, it's interesting that, you know, again, this is kind of the difference between, I would say, like a TV show and a movie, where the TV show, they kind of have a basic idea of where they'd like to go.
You basically just keep going until, you know, you figure it's time to move on to the next part. Like, and a season or, you know, whatever.
And that's kind of the way Shadowbinders works. It's more of a television show, whereas Ren was written like a movie.
Yeah, Ren is written like a movie.
And we know pretty much every detail of everything.
We have to finalize it. It's just already, you know.
I mean, the note cards are still hanging on our wall.
I know, we gotta get those down.
After, like, 2 years.
Yeah, and that's something else. People were, like, talking about, what fancy program do you use to write with? And I'm like, Google Documents and index cards on my wall.
I never understood.
We're not fancy. Sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna take a slight detour here.
It's gonna be one of Tom rants.
This is one of my rants.
Rant.
Okay. People who think that by over-preparing, by having the fanciest equipment, or having the you know, that somehow is going to make you a better writer or an artist or creator, but they're not focusing on, like, the craft itself, on actually getting better. Because if you're
called craft.
I know. I know you're trying to, you know, say,
I don't know why it just drives me nuts.
But I mean, if you're a good artist, you can draw on a freaking napkin.
Well, we used to do the pages originally on a table.
On a kitchen table.
Yeah.
I don't even have a studio.
Well, when I color their flats to catch up with you, I usually am doing it on our bed, or I'm doing it in the, you know, the dining room on a table.
On a
tablet, we don't have a studio. We have a little corner in a bedroom.
Yeah, and you have people there like, oh, I went out and I have this fancy studio and yada yada, and they don't work professionally.
Have to work professionally, but at least you do something.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of funny that it's like, I've got all this, like, ridiculous equipment, and now I'm going to start creating. It's like, well, no, actually, you're doing it backwards. You should be creating always, and then, you know, worry about getting the fancier stuff.
Well, I think that's with writing, too. I think you can prepare it so much and worry every aspect of it to death so much that your characters are so stiff and they don't flow, and it's just not... Well, for example, we were looking at that one Monster High book yesterday, that we were going to have
Boo. And the author's listening to this. And
yes, I doubt it. But the words they were using, especially a middle grade, I'm assuming a middle grade.
The language was
they were using, yes. I'm like, no one's going to refer to, you know, things that she was referring to it as. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, our son's an advanced reader, and he'd be like, what the heck? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I read two pages, and I was like, this is just obviously, they're trying to force it. Like, I'm trying to force the fancy words.
Look how.
I'm trying to force a picture. I'm trying to force a picture in your mind.
Well, I always look at Mark Twain, and he used powerful, simple imagery, and his work holds up 100 plus years.
Right, because you don't have to convolute it. It's like what you said, muddying your waters to appear deep.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't need to do that. And I think sometimes if you try too hard, you can not try hard enough, and then that's a big cluster too. But if you try too hard, I think that your characters can come across as just being really stiff and unbelievable.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's like with painting or with anything else where you can overwork something until you ruin it, you know?
I know ours needs work. There's a lot of things that I, you know, change or that, you know, I will be the first one to admit I'm more of a storyteller than, you know, I am like, I would need an editor for sure. And I'll be the first one to admit that.
Thankfully, you're married to one.
Yeah, thankfully.
This is another.
That's true.
What's really strange. I draw the comic, but Cam is an art teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's had more formal art training than I've had, but I draw the comic. She writes the comic, but I actually worked as a newspaper editor for years prior to doing comics.
Right.
So we sort of, you know, I guess we get to cross over and help
don't cross
each other.
The streams.
Don't cross the streams. we
cross the streams.
Cross the aisle and help each other out. I think which works out really well.
And I think in some ways, like I know a lot of times when you're drawing, I can point out things I can see that need change that you couldn't see. And there's a lot of things that you can find in what I write that needs changed. And that, I might not have noticed it because I was working on it.
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot. That's why I think, you know, most people do need some sort of an editorial, you know, somebody take up the editor role because, you know, you get so mired in the detail a lot of times of your work. And it's anybody that you're not looking at the big picture, not stepping back from the painting and realizing that, hey, everything's wrong. You're just focused on painting that little part of it.
And I think you said about, you know, some input for other people too. I think with a story, when you have it so already all figured out and it's all tight and you can't really, you have no give to it, then if people point out something that's an obvious flaw, you can't fix it because you've already, you know, painted yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can underprepare and paint yourself into a corner, but I think you can overprepare and paint yourself into a corner. I know that not all criticism is good criticism. We've had some, you know, trolls and stuff before, but we've had other comments that, you know, they kind of like, they had good points. You know, they said, you know, why is it this way? Wouldn't it make more sense? And then we thought about, you know, oh, that does make more sense.
Yeah, it depends on where it's coming from. Some people really, believe it or not, if they're trying to help. They're criticizing because they like the work. They think there's potential there, and they're just trying to help polish that and make it better. And that's different than some people that just like to tear down. So you've got two camps
of
criticism. A good editor, even a good reader that'll pick up on things. It's they're criticizing because they want to see this be made better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to kind of be receptive to that and realize that.
Right, but also realizing sometimes better is subjective.
Right. And that's it too. And then sometimes what happens is, you know, people, well, why don't you change it like this? Because that's what they would do. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's right for you. And you have to just kind of be able to filter. You know,
we've had people, you know, make comments like when we got called poo that time. Long story.
That was awesome.
Anyway, but they had some valid points. I mean, not all their points were valid, but they had some valid points. According to them, we should have been belly up by now and shouldn't be as nearly as far as we are. But
yeah.
But they had some valid points about needing more information on the characters. Now, granted, when they did that, we only were in chapter one or whatever, so it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot there you could go with. But, you know, we thought about a little bit more about how to get more information about the characters into there, and that helped, I think. So, I mean, sometimes it's helped, even in something that's, you know, not very nice, you can find some things in it that will help you out.
Yeah, then there are other people who create nothing. They just criticize what
everything
others have created.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hoping to make you cry and leave the internet. You know, so.
Yeah. So what, they get left, they can create then because the competition's gone. I don't know.
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of weird because some of the harshest criticism we've ever gotten has been actually from other people that have had their own thing.
Yeah. Creatives. Like, I want you out of here, so you're not my competition.
Well, no, and it's weird, too, because, like, I mean, and this is, and I'm definitely not, you know, not naming it or pointing it, but we've had people come out and be like, well, you know, rip us to shreds, and then you would look and you're like, oh, okay, well, they write fan fiction. Or
well, the one person, though, in all fairness, I know what happened with that. We did an online convention. It was Web Brief.
Yeah.
And we did it, and the one person was trying to cause trouble in one of the discussions that was going on, and we had to lay down the law.
Mm.
Do you remember? And then shortly after that, he rips it apart. Oh, you people can't write. You can't tell a story at all. And then his comic had got no traffic and was gone within a few months after that.
Yeah, it was gone in a few months.
But his whole beef with us was more to do with the fact that he was misbehaving in a online
and we slapped
chat
him down.
And we weren't very nice about it. I wouldn't say slap, but...
Yeah, well, he was being a troll. I mean, he was being a troll. But then to retaliate, he went and wrote the scathing. I mean, it was like a 5-page...
It was funny.
Why Shadowbinders sucks, and I don't understand why it's so popular, because it sucks so bad.
Oh, with the swarm brow?
With the swarm brow. And then, like putting all kinds of... We've had people do this before, too. Like, rip the comic to shreds. And then you look, it's like, oh, well, you do a comic too. It's just nobody's heard of it. You know?
That's terrible.
It is.
No, I mean you.
It is. But it's like, you know, I just, again, it depends.
Well, you really are in a mood today.
Yeah, I am. But I guess my thing is like, and I'm not saying that other creators can't offer opinions, but again, you have to look at the motivation. Why are they giving you the critique? Are they doing it because they're really trying to help you? Are there just,
yeah, it is a motivation thing.
Or are they just pissed off about something or jealous
because
about something?
I've seen people that are other creators that have been very helpful and that really legitimately wanted to help. And that's a different story than somebody who's just, I'm just going to get revenge on you because...
Because you're more successful than I think
you should. I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say because you told me off in a... You told me to stop being a jerk in a...
Yeah.
On your convention online.
Right.
You stepped in and modded it. And now I'm mad at you.
Yeah, but there. I mean, I'm not talking about just us. I'm just talking in general because you see a lot
of... Wow, you're really in a mood.
Well, no, you see a lot of creators that are, you know, very successful, and they're the ones that get the most criticism. And they've got entire...
Well, so a lot of them turn their comments off.
They turn the comments off. And I don't blame them because it gets to the point where it's just ridiculous. There have been people that have, like, made careers out of mocking other creators. You know, I mean, like, I feel bad for Rob Liefeld, who used to draw, you know, Marvel Comics. Mm. And, I mean, it's like his entire career has been built on, you know, spite, the rage of the internet, hating on him. But people still buy his books. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
some people...
Let's see what crappy drew this time.
Yeah, let's go plunk down $4 to go see how badly he drew.
Well, there you go. You should just rant more often so people will buy our stuff to see what crap you're going to come up with now.
And there's some other folks out there that are really opinionated that just, that, you know, the hate seems to follow them wherever they go. But it's like, you know, again, you have to look at the criticism. Is it valid criticism or is it just a case of... You know, haters going to hate.
We're very opinionated. We just keep it in check. Well, I've been keeping it in check. You're just like letting it fly anymore.
Well, no, I'm being honest. And the honest truth is that...
You're tired of it?
Yeah, I am tired of it. And not everybody is coming when they criticize. They're not coming from a good place. If they're coming from a good place and they're actually trying to help, then definitely, by all means, listen to what they have to say.
If it's a legitimate... I mean, they might be thinking they're helping, but they're not really, too. I mean, you're just going to have to weigh it and decide whether or not it's actually...
Well, yeah.
I mean, they might be coming from the heart if they want to help you, but whether or not you take that advice...
Yeah, and again, it could be a case
and
of...
And also, take advice...
I would do it.
Always take advice from people who are where you want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point taking it... I mean, now someone have, you know, a legitimate piece of advice that you know... isn't somebody that you would normally take advice from, and that's cool too.
Mm.
What I'm saying is someone's going to tell you, here's how you should market, here's how you should do this, here's how you should do that, here's how you get an audience. You're obviously going to listen to somebody who legitimately did it.
That's kind of the golden, that's always been the golden rule for me is if I'm taking advice, professional advice, if you're taking professional advice where your career hinges on it, then look where that person is, look what they've done, and you know, be discerning in who you take advice from.
And that's not saying that someone who, you know, that come that maybe just started might have a legitimate piece of advice that's really good.
Well, that's true. It could be that you just have an outside perspective,
right?
Which is good. But I mean, as far as, you know, the actual career, I mean, I always tell people, don't take financial advice from someone who's broke, because it's like, you know, it's not going to do you any good. If you want to be a successful cartoonist and you want to be doing this full time, whether it's web comics or print comics or whatever, then taking advice from someone who's not doing that and it's professional advice, I mean, I don't understand how that's going to benefit you.
You have to discern it though, too, because there are people that, you know, okay, say someone's going to give you advice on finances and they've got themselves mortgaged to the hilt and look like they have all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all an illusion.
Yep.
There's that too. You have to make sure.
Like Amway.
Okay, but I was thinking more like, you know, that commercial, like, you know, I have debt to my eyeballs. Somebody help me, you know? Yeah. You can, they can have the illusion of, oh, look, we have so much money. Oh, look, we have all this and this and everything else. And look how good we're doing. And we're just fantastic. And in reality, it's like, it's just on the edge.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's sort of a word of the wise, too, is like the more people talk about how successful they are, chances are they're overcompensating.
They're
for something.
Insecure and right. They're trying
because
to make
if,
up for it.
If you're really successful, other people do the talking for you. You know, you're validated
by
your peers.
This is way off topic.
This
on
is way
again.
Off topic.
This is why they can't let us do podcasts, because we're going to be talking about like 80s toys. And next thing you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, nuclear war or something. I mean, it's just...
Well, no, I think this is good. This is good, though, because, I mean, as far as writing goes, I mean, you know, the criticism comes with it. And when
that's
you put
true.
Something out there...
You're expect gonna get, it. You're going to get it.
Expect it. And if you can't deal with that, then, you know, maybe you're not ready to put your work out there. Because the internet's a tough place, especially with the, you know, everyone being anonymous.
Right.
They can leave the nastiest comments ever. And there's really no recourse. I mean, this person's not going to come up to you at your face and be like, your comic sucks and I hate you and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. But they can do it online.
Because they know they might get smacked.
Under a fake email, which we've had people do.
Oh, yes. People complain. And then they respond. It wasn't even a valid email. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, you're so gutless. You couldn't even put your email.
I'm like, okay, because if people have something they want to talk about, we will gladly
Absolutely.
Discuss
Absolutely.
It. I mean, we have no problem doing that. We will gladly reply and say, hey, you know, you have a good idea. Or, you know, oh, we thought about your point, but here's why we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. We aren't the type to just ignore people, and I'm sure people know that. So yeah, and I think something else is important is a support system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you're starting out in any kind of creative endeavor, you really do need a support system. You need people that you know that are friends you can bounce ideas off of, and things that you know, people you got your back.
Oh no, I mean we were trying to rant, but you know, since we're talking about writing, we're talking about the process, and we're talking that feedback, criticism is a very important part of that process. Just make sure that. You know, and again, this isn't to come across as sounding overly negative. Just make sure that your support system is truly a support system and that, you know, they're coming from a good place, you know, because...
But they're coming from a good place. They're there to help you, not to...
Right. And that's true of anything.
It's motivation for everybody.
Yeah, that's true of anything. I mean, that's just life, you know. Make sure your friends are your friends and you can actually rely on people.
Now that we've derailed this train again.
Yeah, we have successfully careened off a cliff.
I think you're going to have make a drinking game. And every time we derail from a topic.
Yeah, it's okay.
But then we'll be drunk within like 2 minutes. But let's go. Okay,
back
so
to
back
the
to the writing. Okay,
process.
So that was how we do Shatterbinders. We kind of keep it a little bit looser. We know where we're going with it, but we kind of leave it so that there's some give and we can, you know, change as needed. No, we're not going to try to, like, you know, we're not the type that would milk it for years and years and years just to keep it going. We do have a definite end, and we do want it to end it eventually. It's just that when you're drawing it, it just takes a long time.
It takes a long time, yeah. And I mean, at the rate we're going now, we're probably talking, like, 10 years until we wrap.
Yeah, we're supposed to be 10 years total.
Yeah.
Now you're talking 10 more years?
Yeah, we're probably talking, like, 10 more years.
Okay.
We need to hire help.
Yeah, that's true. That's another story entirely. Yeah. But, and then now we did a completely different take on writing when we did Crimson Run.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, we're not one-trick ponies.
No.
So
the
we
same
did,
character, though.
Same character. But, you know,
it's
we
a very
have,
different kind
we
of
have
book,
several then. Stories we're working on right now, and all of them are different.
Yeah, they are.
But,
not all Shadowbinders.
Crimson, yeah, not all Shadowbinders. Crimson Run, we knew we wanted a prequel. We knew we wanted to keep it a middle grade story after talking to an agent.
Mm.
We knew we wanted to, you know, make it. We personally wanted to make it kind of like a fun jaunt in the vein of Goonies. We thought about the 80s movies we watched and how much fun they were, and that was one of the ones we talked about.
Yeah, and even and there's a lot. It's kind of funny because, you know, even though Crimson Ren is a technically a steampunk book, there are a lot of 80s movies. You know, elements that creep in there. We kind of outlined some of those in the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, like I forgot about that.
Yeah, like even Ren's coat was based off a Laddie's Lost Boy.
And we did put a lot, because we're children of the 80s, and we're dating ourselves.
Yeah, he is. Tristan's based off of a Wolfgang from the Explorers.
Yeah, so we really took a lot from, you know, inspiration from things like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing was copied or anything. We took inspiration, but we knew we wanted to keep it. We wanted a fun adventure that anybody could read. Whether you're, you know, 10 or, you know, 80. Well, if you're 110, then, you know, awesome
and you can
for
still
you.
Read. You're in good shape.
So we wanted to, anyway, so we wanted to do a story that appealed, that was a middle grade range book, but would appeal to a lot of people. Like back in the 80s, you'd have a movie that was supposed to be, you know, oh, it's for young adult, but everybody loved it.
Mm.
It's like Harry Potter's young adult, but everybody loves it. Yeah. You know, we wanted to keep it in that vein. So we knew that. And we knew we wanted to have some kind of adventure involving a treasure map, which doesn't give anything away because that's the picture.
Yeah.
And on the Kickstarter.
It's a cover. We're not giving anything away with that.
So we wanted to write it that way. So we kind of figured out what we wanted the story to be about, what were the main parts, just like we did with Shadowbinders.
Mm.
But in this case, we actually sat down and we went through and figured out how to tie everything together into one self-contained story.
Yeah.
Even though it might not be in two books, or we're not sure yet because it's so long.
Yeah, it's, and that's the difference between, like I said, the Shadowbinders being episodic in nature.
This is more like a movie.
It really does
flow like a movie.
Yeah. And
it was designed intentionally, sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead, speak.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, that's just saying it was designed that way intentionally.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we wanted it to be a satisfying story on its own, even if you've never read Shadowbinders, even if there's never a sequel.
They don't have to read Shadowbinders. Right.
You could just pick this book up and read it and enjoy it. And that's it.
You never have to read Shadowbinders at all.
Yep.
Or vice versa. So, yeah. And we wanted to get some background information for people who read Shadowbinders, but also have a story that has... We had some major plot elements and themes. You have to keep it with a theme for, like, publishers and things with young adult and middle grade.
Yeah. So there's definitely a theme there.
There's several themes.
So again, we're not really sure what's going to happen to it yet, but it was written a lot differently than
right. Shadowbinders. So this one, that's why we have the index cards on the walls, because we actually broke it up by Act 1, Act 2, Act 3,
mm-hmm.
As you would a play or a movie,
mm-hmm.
and had the followed along what you would do with the acts. And we broke it up and had everything figured out, and it's before we even started mm-hmm. drawing anything. It's been pretty much figured out and ready to go. So it's a completely different... approach.
Well, even the drawing, like, you know, we did some pitch pages,
mm-hmm.
But they're going to be completely redrawn, mm-hmm. you know, because, again, this one's a lot more, you know, like a movie where there could be years of preparation before they actually film the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus a TV show where a lot of times they're like, hey, okay, the show got greenlit, let's film it, you know, and let's just wing it, and we got to come up with a new something every week. And whereas this one, it's like there's going to be a lot more thought.
A lot more thought to it. And we did some things in it that I'd never seen anyplace else before. I can't say what, but we did some things that I'd never really seen done before. But this one too, it's just we had to also consider when we wrote it that people that read Shadowbinders now are going to want to read it for the background information. So we had to use it to explain some aspects about like Tristan and Ren and their dynamic and where it comes from. And we used it to explain that. But we had to do it in such a way that anybody who didn't read Shadowbinders would still be able to...
They're not going to be lost.
Right, they're not going to be lost. So we had to combine a story that would be appealing to an audience that never read Shadowbinders and appealing to an audience that is all about Shadowbinders. So we had to find a balance in there.
It's definitely, you know, interesting in that regard because it's not... I've been using the term semi-prequel because it really stands on its own... you know, and there's enough information there for people that have read Shadowbinders to kind of be like, oh, okay, I always wondered who Alex was. They talked about this Alex person, and now I know.
Yeah.
But if you've never read Shadowbinders, it doesn't really matter because, you know, you just met Alex, and that's
so Alex, we had to try to balance that out. But, I mean, it was a completely different writing process than what we do for Shadowbinders. I mean, the similarities were we knew the main plot points. We knew the ending. You know, we just had to self-contain. We had to do it all once in one sitting instead of breaking it up.
And that goes along with, you know, I always tell people, you know, to think about what their end game is. And in this case, this was always designed to be a standalone story, a book, where Shadowbinders is a webcomic. And it's
right.
There's a difference in how
in
you
platform
approach it.
And
right. And with, you know, when you're writing something like a graphic novel and it's meant to be written as, like, I wouldn't even, you know, even though we do print collections of Shadowbinders, I'm even hesitant to call those graphic novels other than them being long comic books because it was never meant to be.
It was written as a webcomic. It was written as a webcomic where, you know, you have to come back every couple of days, you know, to get another update. Where Crimson Ren is written as a you sit down and read it in one chunk type book. They're written completely different depending on what your medium's going to be.
Yeah, it's even with, you know, comics. You look at a lot of comics and they call them graphic novels, but they're really a bunch of, you know, pamphlet comics you know, stitched together into one collection. And that's still a very different thing from sitting down and writing a 200 or 300 page story,
mm-hmm.
and having that all be one consistent story. Because even some of the quote-unquote graphic novels from like Marvel or DC, it may be, well, here's 10 issues of Batman, but there could be a different creative team.
Right, that's true too.
Within the same book. Like you could have, you know, this team did these two issues and then yeah, another team right. did this. You know, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll take a story arc and put it into a book, but it's still a serialized thing that you're right. kind of...
You have to look at that when you're writing. So I guess how you're going to write something also take into consideration what it is.
Mm.
I mean, obviously a webcomic is written differently than, you know, a graphic novel, self-contained graphic novel. Just like a TV show is probably written differently than a movie,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah, so you have to look at, you know, I'm thinking too, like a fiction book's written differently than an autobiography. You know, yep. it's just how yep. you... So you have to look at that too when you're writing. So there's two different ways we did things. On two different styles. I'm working on another book that I have, and it's going to be a prose book. It's just another completely different
mm-hmm.
way of handling things, because that's not going to be, it's not meant as a script for you to draw it.
Yeah.
So it's all different. Depends on what you want, and what your outcome is.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to, you know, think about where you want this thing to be. I think with webcomics in general, the writing, I think a mistake a lot of people make, is that when they don't really know where they want to go with it when they start.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, awesome, you've got your stuff online, and yeah, you may have some readers, but now what? Because you never really thought about what's your goal.
Right.
You know, is it just to create free comics on the internet forever, or do you have some kind of a game plan?
Well, not just that, too. With webcomics, you have to figure things change so much because it takes so long to do them, to mm-hmm. accomplish them. You could take years to tell a story, but long form.
Yeah.
Things are going to change so much, art style, what you use, everything else. Like in mm-hmm. ours, perfect example, we constantly change things.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the same. It's never going to be the same as sitting down with a graphic novel.
So, yeah, that's you know, our thoughts on, you know, writing. Well,
that's how we do it.
That's
not the only way to do it.
No.
Our way is the only way.
Yeah, well, there's a difference, too, because we...
My way or the highway.
Well, we usually work as a team, too, which is a different process, I think, than sitting down, you know, by yourself, even, and doing something.
That's true.
Or being hired to, you know, work on a project.
Right.
You know, so...
But that's how we do it.
Right.
People are asking how we do it. That's how we do it. And things that you need to look out for. I mean, the other side derailments were just Tom's rant. I mean, seriously, we're going to have rant segments every episode.
I should just do a rant cast as like a side. Like I'll sound like
Tom's rant cast.
Andy Rooney. I'll just sit down with the iPhone and just be, you know, have a couple of drinks.
Well, you should. Like, when you're drawing or doing something and you're working, you should do rant cast. Like, that'd be hilarious.
What's that thing? The Drunk History?
Oh, I love that show.
So we'll do Drunk Drawing.
If you haven't seen Drunk History, oh my gosh, that show's hilarious. It's on Comedy Central, and it is funny. I love that show.
But I could do Drunk Drawing and just sit down, and if I'm pissed off at the internet, just have a.
You
couple
don't have
of
to be drunk. You don't usually take drunk. You just go off.
Just sit down and just be like, you know what really chaps my ass? I was on Twitter today and.
Tom's rant. Yeah, no, seriously, you should do that. That'd be hilarious. I'd like to hear that. I usually do hear about it, but I mean, other people can hear it too. Come always listen to the rant.
Well, you do it too sometimes.
I know I do.
I just be sitting there just working away and it's all quiet and all of a sudden Cam's like, oh, get this. Come here, you gotta look at this. I'm like reading the stupid people saying stupid things on the internet. Oh God, here we go again. Time for a drink.
I do.
Time for a rant.
We can't do like a, you know, take a drink every time one of these things happen because we'd be drunk every day.
It's, yeah, the internet's, you know, sometimes I think, you know, this is kind of sounds counterintuitive, but if you're going to do webcomics, you're going to do good webcomics, I think you need to stay off the internet just so you don't get derailed from.
No, but you have to go online to do
promotion,
so you can't help it.
That's why some print people, I think, have it better because they can just kind of hole up in their own little world and not go online too often.
Well, that's why I've been handling the online, because every time you go on there, a fight erupts. So
I'm not even drunk. If I were drunk, it would be 10 times worse.
Well, you should get drunk and do it and see what happens. But, you know,
I don't think there's a push broom big enough to clean up that mess.
But I know I've had to go in. And usually my rant is, Why did you say that online? Not to clean up your mess.
She left. She left. One time I got into it with people.
Santa's workshop.
She left to go do Santa's workshop, and I was feeling feisty, and I apparently got online. And I get tired of people having.
Which is funny because I'm the redhead.
I don't know.
I'm usually the one that's all fired up all the time, and I'm usually. But you're not on social media because I always have to go and clean up.
Because I'm anti-social. I'm not on social media.
You go in there, and it's like, oh, Tom just like left the bomb, and I have to clean it up. Oh.
I don't have a lot of tolerance. I don't suffer fools lately, and there are a lot of fools on the internet, and I need to detach myself and realize that a lot of people on the internet aren't real people. They're not real people.
I think that's true, too.
They're robots. I think it's funny. Stupid things.
I think it's funny, too, because I see people that their persona online is completely different than their persona when you talk to them in person. And, I mean, just in friends and family I know even and other people, it's funny because it's kind of – because you get online and you're not face-to-face with someone, so you can be whoever you want to be. And if you want to be a ranty dickweed, you can be one. And it's just, but then in person, they're not like that. Or the opposite's true.
They're cowards, usually.
Or the opposite's true. And the opposite's true. Like in person, they're like really, really conniving and mean and like, you know, calculating
yeah,
online.
They're able
to like,
hide on the internet.
Yeah, and they're like online, they're like, oh, we're on this together, kumbaya. And then in person, they're like, I don't really care. Rah! And it's like, whoa. You know what I mean?
It's like if Mr. Rogers ate babies after the show.
Something.
You know, like he tapes the show, he puts his sweater away, whatever, camera's cut. And then he goes and eats a baby.
Something. It's just because we're pretty much what you see is what
yeah, we
you
are.
Get.
We
I
are.
Mean, we're not going to say anything. We're not going to say anything online I wouldn't say to you if we saw you. You know, I mean, it's just, we're just not like that. We're pretty much, you know, upfront about things. But it's funny because you see people when they're like one way on the internet and you see them in person, they're like the opposite way. And it's.
I thought you were nice.
Or I thought, you know, or I thought you were a jerk. Darn it, you're actually nice. What the heck?
I think a lot of times your inflection's lost.
No, that's true.
I mean, I know, you know, it gets me in trouble. I think a lot of times some of the stuff I write trying to be helpful and it comes off like I'm being ranty and I'm not actually.
Yeah, sometimes. Ranting. Yeah, I know with you it's really hard to talk. Cause I used to talk to you online when we live like 2.5 hours away from each other before we got married. And there'd be times I was like, I don't know what the heck. Well, yeah, my sister convinced that you were a Vietnam vet with a metal plate in your head. When we were online, I met him on a message board of all things. And we used to talk all the time. And my sister, you know, because she was worried and she had a right to be, was trying to find out, you know, more about Tom because she's like, you know, we don't know anything about this guy. What if this guy is some nutcase? So Tom,
well, I am a nutcase,
because, you know, he's got a really warped sense of humor, tells her that he's a Vietnam vet with a daughter the same age as me and has a metal plate in his head. And the thing is, so my sister's like, we gotta go meet this guy. And I can't figure why. And I'm thinking it's because she probably thought you were, you know, she didn't know what to think of you. And then when we were on our way there, I called you and you asked my sister if I was a stalker. And my sister says, oh my gosh, he thinks you're a stalker. And I was like,
I was
that's
kidding.
Your sense of,
I have
I know,
a very
I know that.
Dry sense of humor. I mean, I do.
I know your sense of humor, but not everybody does. And my point being, sometimes what you say and how it reads online, I think it's for anybody, can be completely different than what you mean.
Yeah. And. Yeah, it's funny, though, too, because a lot of people I've seen, too, they talk big online, then you meet them in person, and they're
mousy.
Cream puff. Yeah. And I think they use the internet as a way to basically jump up and down for attention and try to,
I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember my mind around, because I'm always, you know, you can attest to this. I'm not one that's tried something I'm not. I'm usually like, you know, what you see is what you get. And, you know, I am who I am, and I'm that way online and at home, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and I think that's a good policy, you know, for anybody to have is if you're going to be on social media, you know.
As a creator. I mean,
as a creator,
I don't think it really matters.
Keep it real, because there are a lot of people I've seen talk really big.
Unless it's working for you, because it goes with your story. Well, I can see that. You know, someone acts like a real jerk online under a fake name just to get people to go to their comment. You know what I mean? I can see that.
I could see that. That'd be like. Clever viral marketing,
yeah.
Guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, I can
like,
see it.
You know, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, we like to keep it real, so we're pretty much, you know, what you see.
It's unfortunately taught to be more real than people want.
I am. I'm not scary. I just, I don't like stupid people.
Why'd you marry me?
I'm Now, honey, okay. Being a little hard on yourself.
So anyway, now that we totally derailed it again.
Yeah, I know. It's all my fault. I'm just going to let you record it next time. Because then
I want you to do the rant thing. You can talk about
the craft.
Oh, don't even hit you. No, I just want to hear you do a rant cast. That'd be my rant cast. Okay, let's talk about two words I absolutely hate. Analog and the craft. You know, there's my rant. Analog. Don't call analog. I hate that. Oh, my gosh. It's like sandpaper for me. It's like, meh.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Valid words. They just drive me nutty.
I can think of about a dozen rant casts I could.
Oh, seriously, I'd love friends. To hear a rant cast.
It'd be funny, like, I'd put rant casts up. You could actually, like, probably watch my Twitter followers decrease in real time.
Don't and just, do
like,
that,
drop,
then.
Like, the freaking stock market, you know.
Well, because of, like, we don't want to be around that negativity.
You're so negative. Stop being nasty.
It's like, I'm not nasty. I'm telling you the truth.
I'm just old and I'm grumpy, okay? What
is
it, okay?
The red pill or the blue pill, which is the one that...
I forget.
Whatever, take that
After
pill.
After the second movie, I stopped caring.
It's like, take that pill, people. You know, we got a dose of that pill. For
anybody
real.
Wants to work professionally, you're going to get a dose of that pill.
You've had a dose of that pill several times, and it's an eye-opener.
Suck it up,
I just
cupcake.
Can't remember which color it is. So now that we're going to have to cut half this podcast
out.
No,
we're
because,
not going to cut it out.
Because,
well, that's part of the reason why we haven't done podcasts in so long is we did a marketing.
Tom gets too real.
Well, we did a marketing one. The thing is, I actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you do know what you're talking about.
We wound up going on for like 2 hours about all the nitty-gritty details of
and
what
they're like,
should,
one's
should do.
Too long, and two, you're just going to make everybody mad.
And I could just see like a bunch of like would-be webcomics creators just kind of sitting around crying.
Yeah, because it does seem like it's daunting. Like, oh, crap.
It is daunting, but you need to know what you're in for, and if you're up to the challenge, then... You know, you do it. But, you know, you're not doing anybody a favor by telling them how easy and wonderful and fantastic it's going to be. I don't think.
It's not all sunshine and kittens.
It's not all sunshine and kittens.
Well, they lied to me. It's not all sunshine and kittens. I like kittens. Sunshine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut some of this out.
I don't know. I think we should just let it run. You're there. Put the tack the rants onto the end of it. Be like the actual podcast, the stuff that you want to listen to is about 7 minutes. The rest of it, that other hour, we're just gonna tack that on.
Post credits.
Yeah, about five podcasts shoved into one.
Yeah, but it's all week. Rants.
It's all rants.
So anyway. So that we're gonna wrap it up now?
Yeah, I think we're gonna wrap
we're
it
up. We're not gonna make another train somewhere else.
No. If you wanna hate on us, www.shadowbinders.com.
Well, if you did, yeah, okay, great. Tell them to go there and hate on us. That's nice.
No, that's okay.
It's like then Cam will come slap you down. I can't tell you how many times I've had really, really long replies to Snark with Snark in return. And I'm like, you know what? That's not helping anybody.
Yeah, but you got it out of your system.
I do. And then I delete it because it doesn't help anybody and it's not helping me and it's not helping the situation. So I, and you have to understand how hard that is for me because I'm a fire first and think about it later kind of person. Tom's smiling because he knows it's true. He wouldn't see me angry.
You wouldn't like her when she's angry.
No, you wouldn't.
But yeah, we'll leave it there. www.shadowbinders.com. We do have a comic in addition to the rants. And that's where we are.